Welcome back to Icky Ichabod's Weird Cinema, brought to you by Grand Forks Best Source. Tonight we're going to be talking about a gross out of a film called The Fly from 1986, starring Jeff Goldblum and I believe Gina Davis.
Jeff Goldblum is the man.
You got that right. He played the chaotician on Jurassic Park. He was in multiple Jurassic Park films. He's in commercials nowadays. He's an underappreciated gem, I would say.
I really liked him in Thor Ragnarok. I thought he was hilarious in that movie. I don't know if you ever saw that one, but
no, I'm really not into superhero films.
Oh, I love them.
Is that two or three? That one.
What number? One.
No, the light. To turn on the light for me.
Yeah.
What is it? One.
Guessed one.
Alexa. So, sorry about that.
How long have you worked here, Katie?
I don't know.
But yeah,
didn't turn on.
The Fly is a really gross out of a film. David Cronenberg is, I believe, from Canada, and he is one of the pioneers of the body horror genre, along with Clive Barker. If you ever seen any Clive Barker films, there's a lot of body horror, and a lot of David Cronenberg's films have an appreciation for body horror, too, so he's kind of like the master of the genre.
Yeah, actually, I kind of want to back up your camera a little bit so people can see this image.
Yeah, when I saw him, he looks like E.T. in a way.
Yeah, move to your other way. There you go.
Look at that. Awesome.
God, this movie just makes your toes curl.
I wonder
there are so many scenes in this movie that are just like, ugh.
Well, you know, actually, there was 9 different stages of makeup for this film.
Oh, really?
Wow.
9 different stages. And the last stage was called the Space Bug. And that was just an animatronic puppet.
Okay.
Wow.
That's when he finally goes full fly form.
Yeah.
Yep.
And, you know, there's a scene with him puking on donuts. And he goes, this is how Brendel Fly eats.
Oh, yeah. I believe
they use either seltzer, which Troma uses a lot in their movies. They use a lot of seltzer and dye. Or it was oatmeal.
Oh.
Ooh. I was going to say, looking at the makeup, I can only imagine how long he was in, you know, how long it took to get
in the chair,
on his
yeah.
face. Yeah.
Oh. I was reading a book on this, and it's really weird. Chris, I believe his name is Christopher Wallace, who did the special effects for this film, actually directed The Fly 2.
Okay. Yeah. I was going to say, when this one first came out, too, you know, his, like, full fly form kind of like remind me more of like a mosquito, where I think like the sequel to this, that's when it looked like more like a, you know, like the black fly that you would see, like that you're most common with.
Yeah And it's kind of funny, you know, some of the special effects they used, actually when his eyes fall out of his head when she's tearing it, when he's like becoming a full fly, that was actually condoms with KY jelly in them.
Gross.
Oh. Awesome.
I guess whatever works, you know.
Well, you know, as I was saying, you know, I like practical effects better than CGI. Mm-hmm. That's one of the reasons this film has such a resonation with me.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of movies out there that try to do, like, shock value. But this is, like I said, it's more of, like, the making your toes kind of curl.
Yeah,
I mean, the part where he's sitting there and he's peeling his nails off of his fingers.
Well, here's the thing. You know, it may be gross, but it's also about the loss of humanity, you know. Mm-hmm. And when he's becoming this creature that's not human, it's like taking away his humanity.
Yeah, and, you know, just for the people that don't know the film, maybe you're going to go into this more, but the whole idea behind this is that he's creating a teleporting machine.
Yeah, yeah. And so was the original 1950-some fly, too, you know?
Yeah, and he actually successfully makes the teleportation machine. He just doesn't realize that there's a fly in there with him. And so their DNAs combine, and then that's why it starts to become this jumbled mess.
Well, you know, and then he starts becoming desperate to become human again. There's actually a scene that was deleted out of the film where he splices a cat with a baboon in order to try to get it, you know, separated, you know, the DNA. And he ends up killing it because it attacks him. There's also another scene that was cut out where he tries to chew off a third leg that's coming out of his back.
Oh, really?
If you look really closely, though, there's a nightmare scene in here where I believe her name is Gina Davis is having the fly's baby, and it turns out to be a maggot. Well, the doctor in that scene is actually David Cronenberg.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that part of the movie. That was really, really gross and disturbing. But I think in the second one was when they started to do more of the combining different animals, because I think there was like a dog or something that was all mutilated, and it was like...
It's been a while since I've seen the second one, but I know the special effects are pretty good, and Christopher Wallace directed it, which means it's going to be pretty good.
Yeah, it wasn't nearly as good as this one, just because, I mean, the acting in this one was just on point.
Well, you know, the second one is more... He's more a genetic birthright rather than a scientific defect.
Yeah. Yeah, and then, you know... I mean, it's just... It's weird because it's... I mean, it's a horror movie, but it's not really a horror movie. It's more like this just gruesome, suspenseful movie, but I wouldn't really consider it to be horror. I mean, I guess maybe. I don't know.
Speaking of horror, it's kind of funny that... I think the guy who plays, his name is Stathis. He's the one who saves Gina Davis, I believe, at the end.
Mm-hmm.
I believe her name is Gina Davis. I might be getting this wrong. But he played in Ghostbusters, I think.
Is that the guy that gets his arm goo melted off?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's actually in the second film for a little while, too, if I remember right.
And just so people know, like, when you were referring to, you know, him... On the, like, this is how, what did you say, the blunderfly eats?
Brendelfly.
The Brendelfly eats. Well, that's what he does to this guy's arm. He just vomits on his arm, and that acid just eats right through because that's, you know, what flies do to eat, I guess.
Well, originally, they were going to have kind of like a proboscis come out of his mouth and do that. But.
This movie is just, it's. Bizarre on so many levels, but it is a fantastic movie.
It's basically it's kind of a love story in a sense,
mm-hmm.
about him losing his humanity and she's loving him all the way through, because at the end of the film she shoots him because he wants her to, because he splices himself with the telepod,
mm-hmm.
and she kept going, no, I don't want to do this, and he puts the gun to his head and she kills him.
Yeah, and I mean, before he goes, like, total gross fly mode, I mean, he was, like, in kind of, like, superhero status. I mean, the guy could, he'd jump really high, he could stick to walls, he got in, like, super great shape.
Speaking of that, the guy he's arm wrestling with in this movie was actually a Canadian champion of arm wrestling, if I remember my facts right.
Yeah, that part of the movie was gross, too, because, I mean, doesn't he bust his bone right out of his forearm?
Yeah.
And I think it's, did it just have like some like ooze or something that came out of his hand again? I can't remember.
It was out of his fingers because he was pressing on his fingers and he goes, what is this? Is this some sort of cancer or something like that?
That's right. Yep. And then that just kind of ate through the guy's skin and yeah, it was gross.
It's a great film. I really enjoyed it. Apparently... At the end of the film, supposedly they wanted to have a baby be born with butterfly wings, and then it just flies away.
Oh, that would have been kind of weird.
I heard that somewhere for something.
Yeah, that would have been a weird twist that probably would have been kind of dumb, actually. It was a good thing they didn't do that.
You know, it's a disgusting movie, but, you know, there's a lot of philosophical things in it.
Mm-hmm.
And psychological, you know, as I said before, the loss of humanity, the changing of the body. It's kind of like a puberty in a sense, because he's going through all these changes and he doesn't know what to think about it. And he gets desperate near the end. Mm-hmm. He goes, you know, me, you, and the baby can all be in the same body. You're going to be more human than I am alone, you know.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, he kind of loses his mind there towards the end.
And, you know, he keeps, even before... He goes fly mode. He's talking about the flesh. Mm-hmm. You know, like, the flesh is this and the flesh is that. I can't remember the exact quote, but, you know.
Oh, I'd be looking at his flesh there in that picture. That's, yeah. Oh.
I think the flesh is supposed to be reminiscent of the body.
Mm-hmm.
and the mind, more the mind than the body, because if the body changes, the mind is going to change too. Like in the original Fly, the original Vincent Price version, the fly's head gets put on his body and the guy's head gets put on the fly's body. And with the fly head on his body, he starts to basically lose his mind and tries to kill his wife.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, I suppose you could look at the flesh portion of it too, you know, like you said, he starts to think that he's kind of godlike and getting out of the human flesh form would make it seem like you're more, like, evolved.
Well, you know, he says in the movie, he goes, I was a fly who dreamt he was a man, and now the dream is over and the insect is awake.
Yeah, so it's kind of like the fly's consciousness takes over his.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a really, really interesting movie.
I would recommend this to anyone unless you don't have a strong stomach.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, even my mom, she remembers this movie when she came out, and she said that this is just like, it's one, like, the movie that she thinks is like the grossest movie ever.
Well, there's some pretty gross movies out there. Clive Barker made a few, like Hellraiser and things like that.
Yeah, but you know, somebody like my mom would watch a movie like Hellraiser, where, as like I said, The Fly, that I wouldn't put it in that category of like horror movie, like Nightmare on Elm Street or Hellraiser or, you know, Jason, you know, Friday the 13th kind of stuff. Like The Fly is just more of a, like I said, a suspenseful, I guess, I don't know if you'd say grotesque, but it's just a really good movie. I mean,
it's a work of art. Mm-hmm. David Cronenberg hit it out of the park with this. I've read some other places that they might actually be remaking this film.
I hope they don't, because every time I see a remake, it always, like, they just ruin it. Because then they're going to try to put in all the CG effects and all this other stuff to make it crazy.
When the new Child's Play came out with Robo Chucky instead of the possessed killer soul in the doll, there's a bunch of people who are against Robo Chucky because they said it's not true to the original script.
Yeah, I could see it. I didn't even watch the new one.
It's worth watching if you want to see an abomination.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, just the amount of time they had to put into the makeup artists and everything in this movie, I mean, I couldn't imagine just being on that team.
Well, you know, as I said, there was like 9 different stages of makeup.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure he was every day, though. He was probably in a chair for hours just to do probably a 15-minute scene.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And those telepods were, you know, were cool looking.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, here's something kind of interesting out there. There's actually a Broadway musical of The Fly.
Really?
Yes.
Well, that'd be interesting to see, I guess. I don't know if I'd really be into that.
Well, there's also a Broadway musical of The Evil Dead. There's a Broadway musical of Beetlejuice, The Shining.
Oh, they make Broadway musicals for everything then? Yeah, I have no interest in that, but I guess for some people it's whatever. But yeah, so I think, were there 3 of these, or is it just the 2?
Original, or the originals, or the
not counting the 50s one. This, I mean,
there was only 2.
There was only 2 of them?
Because there was 3 original Flies, Fly, Son of the Fly, and Curse of the Fly.
Okay, Flies. Yeah, so there would have been 3.
No, that I'm talking about the original 1950 ones. There was 3 of those, and then just 2 of the remakes.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah. Yeah, the second one, God, I vaguely remember it, but this one I...
Well, basically, you know, he's born, and he, like, matures in, like, 5 years or something like that. And he's more, you know, fly than his father was because he's genetically predispositioned to it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's locked in the scientific facility with the telepods, and he's trying to, like, splice himself out of it.
That's right. And then that's where, yeah, there was the other ones that were, like, failed experiments that, you know, and I think he felt sorry for them, and he wanted to, yeah, kill him or something. Like I said, there was something with I vaguely remember a dog.
I believe, yeah, he kills the dog in the movie.
Yeah, all right, well, we'll see if they come out with a sequel to this. Or I don't know. I guess it wouldn't be a sequel, a remake of this one again, too. Like, they remake everything now.
They do remake everything, and it kind of makes me angry.
Yeah. But yeah, I would tell everybody definitely check out this movie. It's I mean, it looks grotesque, but it's a fantastic film. No, I it's a classic.
It is a classic, you know, for special makeup effects and all that stuff. It is definitely a classic.
All right. What do we got in store for next week?
I want to do The Lawnmower Man.
Oh, okay. That's good. That's another
and
really good
with,
one.
With Pierce Brosnan and Jeff Fahey. For future episodes, I'm thinking of doing, if any of you kids out there remember, Are You Afraid of the Dark? Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking of doing a thing on Goosebumps, too, actually, because...
Yeah, I was a little too old for those ones. I think those were books when I was around that age.
Yeah, and it came out with a TV show and a movie and all that stuff.
Yeah, I'm assuming the books came out first, though.
The books did come out first. They came out, they started coming out like 1991 or 92.
Yeah, and see, I would have been 12 at that point, so that was kind of...
It's just something that I remember from my childhood and yeah. I'd like to share, you know.
Okay, yeah.
Eventually, I'm going to do more Charles Band films, though. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking of trying to find a copy of Evil Bong.
Okay.
Doing Evil Bong.
That should be interesting. I think there might be a lot of people hitting a bong when they watch this one. So
I'm surprised they're not already with this show, as weird as it is.
Actually, that's a very valid point. I wouldn't be surprised if there's a lot of people that are watching this or listening to this podcast that are hitting an Evil Bong, too. But yeah.
So remember, everybody, the weird cinema will never die. So Icky Ichabod out. Weird, 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 weird.